For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and dost the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. I want to talk about this morning the just judgment of God. Now, I think everyone here would agree with me if I were to say that God is the judge of the world. Amen? I mean, the Lord is known as many things, isn't he? He's known as the Creator. He's known as the Father of his children, his sons and daughters. He's known as the mighty God. But he's also known as the just judge. And so Paul writes about God in that particular role this morning. He talks about God not as a father, not as a savior, not as the creator, but he emphasizes this office of God, that is, he is the judge. Well, not only do we agree that God is the judge, but we also agree that every one of us, without exception, is going to stand before God on judgment day. And it's going to be a one-on-one. You're not going to be there with your best friend, your husband, or your wife. You're going to be there one-on-one with God, the judge. You and him. No mediator. Just you and him. And on that day, the Bible tells us that we are going to give an account of every word that we have spoken. That should send chills up and down your spine. Every word that you have spoken. Matthew 12:36. We shall give an account thereof on the day of every idle word that we have spoken. Now, if we're going to give an account of every word we've spoken, what does that say about everything we've done? Every action we have done, and every thought we have done. So when God reveals to you on that judgment day every word you have spoken, everything you have done, everything you have thought, how do you think the balance is going to tip for you that day? If he puts all the words that you have said, all the things you have done, all the things you've thought that are sinful on one side, and then he puts all the good things you've done and all the good words you have said, and he puts them on the tip, it's not going to move at all, because there is no such thing as a good word from a sinner. There is no such thing of a good deed of a sinner. There is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. And when you see the great scale tipped against you on that day, then you know what's coming, don't you? You know you're in trouble. And you know the trouble that you're in is of eternal weight. I mean, you have sinned against God. Not once, not twice, but over and over and over and over again. And on top of that, you are already a sinner because you were cursed with that sinfulness at your inception. And so you're in a fix. You're in a pickle. Here you are before a holy God, and He has just unveiled for you your sinfulness, and you have fallen miserably short. And you have no answer. And if God says to you, how do you account for these things? How do you plead? Well, there's only one way to plead. I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. And you know enough about God being the just judge to know that He's not going to let anything slide. He's not going to sweep anything under the rug. He's going to measure out for you and for me the just, the right punishment that is due to us. And if we've sinned 1 trillion times, then the punishment is going to be for those 1 trillion sins, plus our curse. And then He's going to throw you into hell. And you're going to burn forever and ever and ever. You're going to be in torture and torment forever and ever and ever. There will be no reprieve. God will not let up when 1 million years passes by, because your sins deserve such punishment. That day is coming. It is awful to think about, isn't it? It's terrifying to think about. No wonder the writer of Hebrews says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God, of a living God. Are you listening? Because God is speaking right now. And He's speaking pretty plain. I don't know how simpler He can make it, how more plain He can present it, that He is a judge and He is a just judge, and judgment day is coming and you and I will be judged. Now there are some who think, well, I can plead innocence because I never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. Or I can plead innocence because I was never reared in a Christian home. Or I can plead innocence because I've never read a Bible. Or I can plead innocence because, and the list goes on and on and on. No. The passage we read this morning says that not only is the Gentile nation who has rejected God, which is Romans chapter 1, not only will they be judged, but the Jewish people also will be judged as well, except the punishment for the Jews will be more severe. It will be a stricter judgment for 3 reasons in this passage that we have found this morning. The first reason is this. Going back to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, God has made Himself known through creation. Look back with me in chapter 1, in verse 18 and 19 and 20, where Paul declares, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which made me known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." Not they're blurry, not they're just faint, they are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The first reason God will judge all men, the basis upon which He will judge, is His creation. Now, what have you seen recently in creation that reminds you that there is a God and He has made this world? And He is powerful, and He is just, and He is wise, and He is wonderful. Anything caught your mind lately?
I just got back from the ocean.
What's that?
Ocean.
You got back from the ocean. Yeah. It's a vast amount of water, isn't it? Who put that there? And who holds it in its boundaries? Yeah, that's wonderful. Anybody else seen anything in nature that has just caught your attention and reminded you that God is great?
I've seen some of the wildfires that are going on in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Hawaii and like California here. Just, I'd seen some of the damage that was done, and it was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Nobody expected any of it.
Right, exactly. Anything else?
We were watching hummingbirds.
Hummingbirds?
Yeah.
Aren't they amazing creatures?
Flitting around, flitting from all over the place, chasing each other.
Yeah, who made them like that? Yeah, who made that? And how do they do all that stuff? Incredible, isn't it? Anybody else? God says, every time you look at creation, whether it's a blade of grass or an oak tree, whether it's a heavenly star or a grain of sand, whatever you look at, it screams at you, there is a God. I made this, and it's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah. That's enough to hold every man accountable that there is a God. The second reason he will judge people, not only has he revealed himself through creation. And by the way, the evolution attack upon creation, the theory of evolution, is nothing more than an attack from hell upon God's creation. Why? Because the devil is trying to shut up God through his creation. He's never going to win, but he's certainly trying to. Number two, the reason that every man is held accountable is in chapter 2, verse 15. Because God has written his law on every heart. Every creature, man, woman, boy, or girl, has the law of God inscribed upon their heart. Now, what is that law? It is the law that God has given flesh to through the Ten Commandments, the two tables. That God has written that law upon every boy's heart, every girl's heart, every man's heart, every woman's heart. Every person in this room knows not only that there is a God because of creation, but every woman, every man, every boy, every girl in this room knows in their heart what is right and what is wrong and what is required of you by the God who made the hummingbirds. You must bow before him and you must worship him. You know that in your heart because God has written his law in your heart. And if someone says on judgment day, I didn't know, God's going to say, oh yes, you did. I talked to you 24/7, all year long through creation, and I talked to you every day through your heart. You are inexcusable. And then the third reason why folks will be held accountable on Judgment Day is this, is that God has revealed himself specifically and particularly to a group of people, not to everyone, and that is through the Bible. God reveals himself through creation. God reveals himself through the law written on her heart. And God reveals himself through the Holy Scriptures. This book is the inspired and the inerrant Word of God. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, verses 14, 15, and 16. He says, Timothy, those Scriptures that you have been given that are able to make you wise unto salvation, they are the inspired Word of God. They are God-breathed. And they are profitable, not only unto salvation, but unto sanctification,
because they're profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God, the preached Word of God, is the third basis upon which God will justly judge every man, woman, and child, those who have heard the gospel. And I want you to listen closely. If you haven't heard anything I've said yet, please stop what you're doing, both eyes and both ears. This is vastly important. Not everybody gets to hear a sermon. There are people in Benton who will live and die and never hear a sermon. That's not you, though. Here you are this morning, gathered in a house of worship, and you're hearing the reading of God's Word and the preaching of it. When you stand before God on Judgment Day, that's going to be a major factor for you. For if you turn your life away from Jesus Christ, if you refuse to repent of your sins and bow before Christ and trust Him as your Lord and Savior, on Judgment Day, God's going to reveal to you every sermon that you heard preached. And the punishment you will receive in hell will be more severe for you than it will be for someone who has never heard the gospel preached. So it's upon you right now. This is why I said this is the most important part of the worship. There are some of you here who are still in your sins. You do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You must repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ now. You shouldn't wait another second. You should do it right now. You should say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Save me. Have mercy upon me now. Why? Because you are the privileged one to hear the gospel. On my way to drive into church this morning, driving through Mount Vernon to pick up some of my grandkids, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, maybe even thousands of people in Mount Vernon. You know where they are this morning? I can tell you where they're not. They're not in a church service, worshiping the God that made them, given to Him rightful worship, due diligence on the Lord's day. And will they ever hear the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ? I don't know. I sure hope and pray so. But for those who are here this morning hearing the gospel preached, you must see that this is a special blessing from the Lord. Not everybody gets it. But yet here you are hearing about your sin, hearing about God judging you, and hearing about the free offer of grace through Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior who saves any sinner who will come to Him, and He'll do it gladly. But He does it through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you shouldn't do anything except run to Christ right now. If you can't come, if you can't run to Him, then walk to Christ right now. If you can't walk to Christ, then crawl to Christ right now. And if you're so loaded down with your sins that you can't even move, then fall on your face before God right now and say, God, have mercy upon my sinful soul and save me by your grace. That should be our reply. That should be our response. But we've been so conditioned to not think about worship like this, or salvation like this. But I'm here to set the record straight. In this very moment, as God is speaking to you at this very second, you shouldn't take another breath
until you run the white flag of surrender up and say, God, I give, I quit, I want you, and I want you right now. I'm not moving. I'm not doing anything else until we get this straight. That's the judgment of God. That's the severity of it. And that's the importance of listening to it. Now it pains me. I've told you this before. It pains me to talk like this. It's not my nature to talk about such awful things. But I have to. It's part of preaching. And especially when you see it so plainly taught in the Bible. And so I pray that you would, those of you who have ears to hear, please listen right now. This is eternal. This is of eternal weight. Come to Christ right now. Don't let anything distract you. Don't let anything stand before you and it. Come to Christ right now. How do I do that, Brother Jim? How do I come to Christ right now? Well, you look to Jesus. Well, where is Jesus? He's talking to you right now through the Word of God. He's not here in physical presence, no. You can't see Him physically, but you can see Him through the eyes of faith. And so I would encourage you, if you're looking to Jesus, to do this. I would just encourage you to pray this prayer. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's about the only sinner's prayer we can find in the Bible. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. So friend, how will it be for you when you stand before God on Judgment Day? Will you escape the judgment of God? There's only one way to do that. That is through trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Have you done that? If you have, then you have hope. If you haven't, then there is no hope. Nothing and no one else can save you from God's wrath. So in this moment right now, let's just bow our heads and close our eyes as we pray. I just want to encourage you to block everything and everyone out. This is between you and the Lord. It's just you and Him in the room. And He's given you a fair warning. I am the judge. Judgment Day is coming. Get ready. Are you ready? Have you repented of your sins and placed your faith in Jesus? If not, then do it right now. Say to the Lord, Lord, thank you for this sermon. Thank you for this moment. You who made the heavens, schedule an appointment with me today to talk to me about judgment. I am not ready. But I want to be. Save me from my sins through your Son, the Lord Jesus. Have mercy upon me, O God. Save me. Now, Father, I've done the best I can do, I think, with this passage and with this sermon. And I realize I'm speaking to dry bones. There's nothing I can do to connect the bones together or to put flesh upon them or make them come alive. But I can call upon your Spirit. And I can plead for the Spirit to breathe life into these dead bones. And it is your Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel, who can regenerate men and women, boys and girls. And I am praying that even in this moment, that your Spirit will actively work in the hearts of everyone here who is unregenerate, who is not saved, and bring them to Jesus Christ. Come, wind of God, and blow upon these dry bones. Come, wind of God, and blow upon these dry bones. Raise up, boys and girls, men and women, as part of the family of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.